Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about a series of news items today related to the North American Union, related to Fred Thompson and the Council on Foreign Relations, related to the deception of much of the so-called Christian religious right that continues to support candidates who are involved in globalism, that are involved in cultural subversion, that are involved in supporting Zionism and the Likud agenda worldwide. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God and Jesus for those people who claim to be Christians. What's going on here? My recent piece on Rudolph Giuliani for the American Free Press comes into play here. The recent revelations of the New York Post and the Washington Post in regard to Fred Thompson come into play. And also the fact that the debate in Iowa last night among the Republican presidential candidates shows clearly that Ron Paul is the only game in town. NBC said that he sounded like a Democrat on the war. That's wrong. All of the Democrats are supporting war. Clinton, Obama, and Edwards are ultimately supporting the war on terror, ultimately supporting the Israeli lobby as the real driving force behind what the United States is doing in the Middle East. No, Ron Paul doesn't sound like a Democrat. He sure doesn't sound like any of the other Republican candidates. Ron Paul is a constitutionalist, and his understanding of federal income taxation and the Federal Reserve Board and the enumerated powers of the Constitution has something to do with what he also believes about foreign policy and war, and when war is advisable and when it isn't, and when war is constitutional and isn't, and when war is moral and isn't. Ron Paul is his own guy, and he's running according to the dictates of somebody who has a comprehensive worldview that is dictated by the Constitution of the United States and the original intent of the founders and the enumerated powers. So, NBC, that's the real take on last night's debate in Iowa among the Republican presidential contenders. Ron Paul's the only game in town, folks. For those of you who are going to vote in this upcoming election, vote for Ron Paul in the Republican primary, even though you have to hold your nose at being in the voting booth with a bunch of elephants and donkeys. Vote for Ron Paul as the only game in town. That's my editorial remark on what is going on today as it involves the whole issue of the American presidential elections. We are joined today by our friend from Vancouver, Canada, Greg Felton. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. You can buy Greg's book through Dandelion Books directly or through Amazon, or any of the other means that you traditionally procure your written materials by and from. Greg, how are you, sir? Are you out there, Greg Felton?
I am out here. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you now. It's good to have you with us, Greg. You've been wanting to discuss a series of things with us this morning related both to Dick Cheney and also to Mr. Bush's edict declaring a state of emergency to seize the property of anyone who challenges the Sinora government in Lebanon. Where do you want to start?
Well, we can start with the Sinora government in Lebanon.
Okay.
I've seen George Bush do a lot of strange things, and I shake my head at just how this man could ever have obtained any political office in the United States, and I had to just really wonder why he would actually threaten the property of any American who supported or didn't support a foreign government in the Middle East. I mean, is it not possible in the United States to say, I don't support a foreign government, and to be free from...
We'll be back with Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Cast Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver joins us today, per usual on Monday mornings. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. We're beginning our conversation with Greg today by discussing what he sees as the significance of Mr. Bush's edict of the 1st of August declaring a state of emergency to seize the property of anyone who challenges the CNR government in Lebanon. Greg, go ahead, sir. Are you out there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm Greg? There. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Good. Go ahead. What is the significance of this whole business of Mr. Bush freezing the assets of persons who are deemed to be undermining the CNR cabinet? What's going on?
Well, this is something I found very, very interesting. I mean, the United States is more and more degenerating into something that I don't think a Hollywood scriptwriter could invent. I mean, I can understand Bush having a political reason for supporting a government, whether it's senior or anybody else, but to go so far as to threaten the property of anyone who who doesn't support the Sinhala government tells me something that's very, very weird and very, very insecure. I mean, the 14th Amendment to the American Constitution states quite clearly that, here we go, let me read the first part of the 14th Amendment passed on, ratified on July the 8th, 1868, that's some time ago. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor to deny any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of the laws. Now, when Bush signed this statement, stripping people of their property should they oppose the Sinhala government, he violated the 14th Amendment. I mean, there was no due process of law. This was simply an edict written as if he were some czar passing an ukase from his study. This was simply an act of a tyrant. And I'm amazed that nobody has called him on this and demanded his impeachment, because this is a direct violation of the 14th Amendment.
Well, and it seems to be part of a seamless garment of violations of the law and the violations of the Constitution that have characterized the Bush-Cheney regime across the board, of which this would simply seem to be the latest, Greg. And to me, as I look at this whole thing, I get back again to the implications of this just for foreign policy. I'd like to see an American president come out and say, you know, in this case we're talking about Lebanon and the Sinhala government, I'd like to see an American president say, you know, I want the people of Lebanon to decide what kind of a government they want and who they want to run it without the interference of the United States or Israel or anyone else. Just that the people of that country get to pick what they want, and when they decide what they want and they choose it, then we get to have, presumably in the foreign policy arena, a relationship with that government where we have agreements and disagreements. But keep in mind that the United States and Israel are not going to tell Lebanon or anyone else what kind of a government they're going to have. That should be the choice of the people of that country.
Except what's interesting about the Sinhala government is that Sinhala is allied with the United States in trying to blame Syria for the assassination of Rafiq Hariri back in 2005. And so you wonder why it's so important for George Bush to have somebody in government who supports this. And as we know, Syria did not have a role to play in assassinating Hariri. It made no sense for Syria, because simply put, Syria had nothing to fear from Hariri. And it was quite clear that someone other than the Syrians were involved in the assassination.
Who do you, I think I probably know what your answer is going to be, Greg, but yeah. Who do you think was behind the assassination of Hariri?
Oh, that was Israel.
I think so, too.
Yeah, Israel did it essentially to destabilize Lebanon, to attack Hezbollah, to make Syria out to be an international bad guy, and to justify aggression against Syria.
And exactly.
But I have, in my book, in chapter, I think it's 15 in my book, I go into some detail about this. And again, we look at the bizarre act of the United States president, so-called, passing legislation to punish his own citizens for opposing a foreign government. I think this is clearly more evidence that Israel is really running the show in the United States. I can understand Bush saying, we support Sinhala, we do all this and that for him. But to go so far as to threaten the property of his own people, I think we have to conclude that the United States clearly does not exist anymore. I mean, I don't think I've seen an example so clear-cut of a government acting so stupidly and so brazenly in support of Syria as this instance. I mean, you can find all kinds of people who can rationalize, oh, we have to support Israel, or we have to attack the Arab terrorists in Iraq, or the Shia terrorists in Iran. But to go so far as to attack one's own people like this, I mean, this is bad for business. This is against every civil liberty that the radical individualists in the Republican Party support. You're finding now a lot of Americans that you would think would be behind this now standing up and saying we're opposed to this. And now we're having evangelical Christians, some of them coming out opposing George Bush, opposing Israel's persecution of Arabs. I mean,
some of them are finally starting to get it. And as I said on this show last week, Greg, I read the text of the letter that these Protestant evangelicals wrote to Mr. Bush that was subsequently printed in the New York Times. And that letter, of course, was covered by Hesham Chalawi as well in his current issues TV show. And reading the text of what Dr. Ronald Sider of Evangelicals for Social Action, I believe that's the name of Dr. Sider's group, what Sider and some of these other people like Richard Mao of Fuller Seminary were saying is what people like, at least to a point, what people like you and I have been saying, except I think they're not yet taking a position that is nearly as strong or as cohesive or as coherent or as comprehensive as what Greg Felton is talking about. But maybe they'll get there. I think the mere fact that they said what they did say in the New York Times to Mr. Bush is an indication of a larger process of erosion, which I think you and I, frankly, find to be an optimistic development.
Yeah, that's quite right. I mean, their balanced support for Israel and the Palestinians is full of a lot of the typical self-delusion you find among a lot of the Christians in the United States. I mean, they always start from the premise that, yes, Israel is important, Israel's security is the most important thing, and, of course, that's utter rubbish. But at least they have come out and stopped the... show that there's no blind support for John Hagee and the dispensationalist sociopaths that have been helping formulate U.S. policy at least for the past 6 years. And the fact that there are evangelical Christians, to whatever degree, coming out opposing Israel's absolutist, maximalist claims against Palestine demonstrates, I think, we are seeing probably the end of the, I don't say the end, but certainly the downward slope of the fascist junta that took over, as I said in my book, beginning with Ronald Reagan. Now, I talked on Hesham Talawi's show last week on currentissues.tv, and I went into detail about the fascist junta comprised of the Zionist Jews, evangelical Christians, and the neoconservatives, who were in both camps, by the way, and argued why they supported Israel against the Palestinians. And he brought up the notion that this made no sense since the evangelicals are devoutly anti... A lot of the dispensationalist evangelicals are devoutly anti-Jewish. I mean, they think that the Jews will suffer down on here on earth while everybody goes up the escalator to Jesus. And somebody like goes to Ned Flanders types. And he explained to me, how is it possible that the Zionists could align themselves with these nut jobs, these radical anti-Jewish Christians? And the simple fact is that they don't want to, but there's no one else who will give them the time of day. Because most Jews in America don't support the persecution of Palestine. Those who do and who find it distasteful and thoroughly anti-Jewish are intimidated into silence. If anybody who does is simply deemed a self-hating Jew and is ostracized by the Jewish authorities, the Zionist authorities in America. So a lot of the Jews who would support this are simply keeping their head down, or they will give lip service to it, but they aren't really staunchly anti-Arab to the point of homicidal mania.
We'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, when Mark Dankos America returns. You can find Greg's website at www.gregfelton.com. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today, per usual on Monday, by Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. Greg's website is www.gregfelton.com, and that website is entitled Politics Unspun, Commentary Served Straight Up Without a Twist. Greg is also the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication, and information as to how to order Greg's book can be taken directly off his website, which again is www.gregfelton.com. We've been talking about Mr. Bush and his latest attempts to undermine the Sionora government in Lebanon as our opening topic for this morning. Take it away, Greg.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark. Now, I simply think I said I want to say about Sinora, because I think I found it so bizarre that the Americans American government would actually threaten the property of someone who supported a foreign government. And this is the only reason they're supporting, he wants to support Sinora. He supports the belief that Hariri was assassinated by Syria or in Hezbollah. And this, again, plays into the Israel's maximalist aims to destabilize Iran and Syria. And that's all I wanted to say about that, because I was simply amazed at how clearly this government in Washington, Tel Aviv, D.C., clearly has simply become more and more farcical. And I don't know what I don't know what Americans are going to do in the next election, because they haven't had a government for so long. And I say I'm so glad right now I'm not living south of the border here.
Do you believe, Greg, that that the guys in Washington and Tel Aviv have any basic awareness of the fact that they're beginning to lose their grip on the minds of the American people? I mean, when I look at the polls on the war, I look at the polls on Bush, the American public is fed up with Congress, and certainly I think the beginning of this process of erosion of Protestant evangelical monolithic support for Israel is also suggestive of a bigger difficulty for these guys. Do you think that the folks in Washington and Tel Aviv are beginning to become more privately concerned that maybe the old methodologies are not working and that their grip on people's minds is beginning to slip?
Yeah, there's a very good article that came out in Haaretz about a month ago by Amram Barkat. It was titled, Jewish Leaders Concerned by Trend to Delegitimize Israel. And what's happening for the first time in probably living memory is that attacks on Israel are becoming defensible, and those who try to censor it are being condemned as people who are trying to stifle debate. And the article goes into great detail about how difficult, not about how it's easy now for Jews to find themselves, the Israel lobby, to find itself on the defensive. Where is it now? It was the Harvard University came out and said that people who support, who attack Israel are anti-Semites, are trying to undermine the Jewish state and its right to be a Jewish state. And they were condemned for stifling debate. And this would not have happened 5 years ago. There's a lot of Jews and a lot of critics of Israel, thanks to the great writing of John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt, who wrote the Israel Lobby for the London Review of Books, it has now become part of the public debate. So right now, Israel's legitimacy, Israel's nature and what it's doing to the Palestinians is now debatable. This is not something that would have happened 5 years ago, and this is what Abraham Foxman said. I receive letters from professors who claim that when I accuse someone of being of anti-Semitism, I am trying to silence public debate. When the president of Harvard University said the delegitimization of Israel helps anti-Semites, he was accused of silencing public debate. No one would have dared accuse him of this had there been talking about racism or xenophobia. So, yes, there's a lot of fear that Israel is losing control. They're losing control among the Jews in America. They're having to ally themselves more and more with the radical dispensationalist Christians. And we're seeing, I think, something is going to come to a head, I think, relatively soon, because right as it is right now, the United States is in serious, serious trouble, not only financially, but as we saw with the collapse of the bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, just last week, America is decaying from within. And I know that a lot of people died on the bridge, a lot of injuries. Despite that, I thought this was an amazing metaphor for what's happening to the United States overall. It's decaying, people are going to die, it's rotting from within, and at the same time that there isn't enough money to rebuild America's bridges and infrastructure, there's enough money for a $30 billion aid package to Israel. I mean, how long will the Americans die so Israel can still have guns to kill Arabs?
And I'm convinced, Greg, that you're onto something here. The collapse of that bridge in Minneapolis, and I'm originally from the Midwest. Actually, I'm originally from nowhere because my dad was an Air Force officer. But my roots are in the Midwest because my parents were originally from Iowa. And when we come back, I just wanted to say that I think that this Minneapolis bridge collapse is an indication of a much more macrocosmic issue that you've identified for us. You've hit a nerve for a lot of people. We'll be back with Greg Felton, and we're going to discuss, among other things, Dick Cheney when Mark Antos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Do you know what you can go with solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today, per usual on Monday, by Greg Felton of Vancouver. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That book can be obtained by going to Greg's website, which is www.gregfelton.com. The Host and the Parasite is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. This is a must-read, folks. You must read The Host and the Parasite to gain a more comprehensive view of the stranglehold that the Zionists and the kook wing of the Christian right and the Jewish neoconservatives have over American foreign and domestic policy and where it is taking us. Or as Greg puts it on his website, this book traces the slide of the United States into fascism and subservience to a foreign power. And as an America Right conservative of the Taft, Robert Taft wing of the Republican Party historically, I affirm that I believe that description of Greg Felton to be absolutely factual. Absolutely factual. This analysis that he gives us in The Host and the Parasite is backed up with over 800 footnoted references to government, scholarly and media sources. It is a must, and I emphasize a must read. Back to my comment, Greg, before the break, you're talking about the Minneapolis bridge collapse and the way in which a lot of Americans are connecting the dots. We've got $30 billion to fork over in new military aid for Israel so it can be engaged in a new round of blasting people to pieces in the Middle East, and yet we are not taking care of our basic infrastructure in this country. And when I think of the fact that this happened in the upper Midwest, I was making the point before the break that those are my roots, the Midwest. My parents are Iowans. They were products of the Great Depression. My dad became a career Army Air Corps and subsequently Air Force officer after the events of December the 7th, 1941. My dad played football for the University of Omaha. He was one of six boys, the only one who even got through high school because of the Depression. That's the stock that I come from. And when I think of the fact that now in the Midwest something like this has happened, I talk to more and more people that call me or write me or, you know, that I see here in San Antonio, and they say, boy, what's going on here? The city of San Antonio can't even cut the grass and the weeds anymore, and now we're talking about a situation in Minneapolis where this I-35W bridge collapses and these innocent people are killed, and we're finding out now how many other bridges and roads in this country are deemed to be potential sites of catastrophe. Where's the money going? What are the priorities of our government? What are these jerks doing? And as they begin asking those kinds of questions, questions that should have been asked admittedly a long time ago, but they're beginning to ask them now, and as they're asking these questions and they're beginning to find their way to sources like you and me, Greg, they're going, my land, what is going on here? What have we allowed? Who's hijacked this country? We got to do something. And I think, I'm just sensing, that as terrible as this Minneapolis tragedy is, and as much as our hearts go out to the fine people who lost their lives in this situation, that if there's a silver lining in this dreadful event, it is that maybe the American people are looking at the derivatives crisis, Greg, that you outlined for us last week in your chat about the Bear Stearns situation. They're looking at our foreign policy and what we're supporting, the number of our kids that we've lost, the amount of borrowed money that's gone into this mess. They're looking at the corruption in Washington, D.C. They're finding out about the control that a foreign lobby has of their own government. And they're saying, gee, the whole country is like this bridge that just collapsed. We're like the people that were driving on that bridge in Minneapolis that were going home from work on a Friday, and all of a sudden the bottom drops out of this bridge and all these people are dead. That's what's happening to our country. We're all on this bridge together, and we're all heading toward a disaster. We simply don't know when it's going to happen. And I think that the sense of doom that has been underscored by the collapse of this bridge is starting to wake up people who have been somnolent up to this point about where we really are in this country.
Well, especially when you think that this bridge was known to be structurally unstable.
But yes.
A couple of years before the bridge collapsed, it was given a very bad review, and it needed to be upgraded. But there was no money spent on it. That money went to Iraq. And I have a chapter in my book called Unholy Trinity, which is the second chapter. And it looks at the mentality of Leo Strauss and the economic elitism that makes this sort of nonsense possible.
Leo Strauss, for those who don't know, as I remember, is the Jewish neoconservative from the University of Chicago that's kind of the father of the neocon movement, correct?
Well, that's right. It was he started the neocon movement. Then Irving Kristol, another Zionist Jew who moved down from New York to Washington, D.C., turned it into an international major movement. I mean, George Will called Irving Kristol the godfather of neoconservatism. But yes, you're quite right. It was Leo Strauss who started teaching the sort of unenlightened selfishness as an economic model. And one of the things that Strauss taught, and this is going to sound very perverse to anybody with two working brain cells, is that federal spending on the disadvantaged, on the public at large, to make people's lives better, is somehow bad. Because that takes away the sort of individualism that made America great. Now, I have no problem with people making their own way in the world, doing for themselves and not relying on the government. That's fine. But the government has a certain responsibility to take care of public goods, like bridges, welfare, the people's health. But any spending that isn't designed to support big business and the military is looked upon by Straussians, people who support Neil Strauss, as somehow bad spending, as wasteful, as debilitating to the American spirit. Because one of the perversities of Leo Strauss is that he came from Germany during the Weimar Republic, when the nascent republic was trying to get its feet on the ground, and it was, of course, being sabotaged left and right by the United States and Britain and France, who were just sucking reparations out of the country faster than they could be created. And Leo Strauss came over here and started to say, look, we have to stop being so democratic. It's just not good for the moral backbone of America. We have to fight fascism, and so we have to sort of stiffen our backbone. And he did so by actually advocating the sort of hateful policies that essentially what we're seeing today in George W. Bush. We're trying to see a country based on selfishness, upon militarism, and complete disregard for the average American citizen.
I think what you're identifying, Greg, is the fact that for these kinds of neoconservatives, welfare is not a bad thing as long as the welfare is supporting corporate interests, chiefly arms merchants, oil conglomerates, the Israeli lobby. Those subsidies are okay. You know, they want to focus upon the fact that, well, we shouldn't be giving any sort of welfare payments out to somebody with 10 kids who's just lost a job. That's bad, because ultimately that leads to a certain brand of statism. But then they will turn around and say, well, you know, Lockheed Martin and the Israelis and Chase Manhattan Bank and some of these types of corporate interests, well, they certainly need a legitimate subsidy and a legitimate alliance with government. And that, to me, is where it becomes utterly perverse.
It does. We also saw this to a large degree during the Katrina hurricane disaster down in Louisiana, because there was a case where people were demanding that the United States act to protect the various boroughs that were going to, the parishes that were going to be inundated. But Bush deliberately ignored pleas for help from Louisiana, deliberately ignored them. And because to spend on that was somehow to take money away from the war on terror, boo, or to take money away from subsidies to the oil companies. I mean, by the time, when George Bush was asked to move to take action to protect Louisiana, the one thing that was uppermost in his mind was repealing the estate tax to make it easier for the rich to become even richer in the United States. I mean, in the United States, Leo Strauss's belief that economic elitism, helping the narrow stratum of the wealthiest, and using religion to instrumentally to keep the average citizen under control, that is what American economic policy has become now. And this is something that is so perverse. I'm often at a loss to explain, to articulate this, because this makes no sense from any rational point of view.
Yeah, it's absolute craziness to me. And again, I think the average American, you know, the old distinctions between American left and right and center, which are largely meaningless, I think, in the context of today's political picture. There are an awful lot of folks who've characterized themselves in the past in this country as being with one of these factions, who I think are beginning to get the fact that something is wrong here that's far more systemic than they've ever realized before. And to me, when I listen to the utter trash that is coming out of these mainstream upper-tier candidates in both the Republican and Democratic parties, Ron Paul is clearly the only one contradicting this nonsense. And when you look at all of the other ones, let's assume, for example, that we get a Giuliani-Clinton race in the fall of 2008, God forbid. But let's just say that it plays that way. Philip Giraldi of the American Conservative predicted on my show that for sure Clinton would be the Democratic nominee, and Phil tends to be somebody who's right about a lot of stuff. Let's assume that it plays that way. I just can't imagine with the way I'm hearing people talk to me privately through email and phone conversations and face-to-face chats that the American public is going to continue buying this sort of stage-managed Hegelian dialectic where the corporate powers that be and the Zionist lobby continue to give us Tweedledee and Tweedledah. I think the public is reaching the end of its rope.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, the American public has to be, there has to be some sort of simmering anger under the surface of the United States. I tell you what's really interesting. When some of the people who are most opposed to the despoliation of the U.S. are Iraq war veterans. And I was talking to a friend of mine in the Southwest the other day, and she was out doing a vigil outside in inner city protesting the Israeli persecution of Palestine. And this one Iraqi veteran was so impressed, he took his baseball cap off and just tossed it out of his car window at her feet and didn't know what to make of it. And then about 20 minutes later, he was driving along the other side of the street and started waving a big, happy, you know, enthusiastic hand to her. It's the American veterans, the American military, who are suffering the most right now. And these are the people who are the most staunchly behind the movement to bring back American constitutionalism. And I said sort of wistfully, wouldn't it be great if you get a brigade or a battalion of these veterans go march on Washington, Lviv, and sort of stand outside of the White House and say, look, we want our country back.
I mean, well, that's exactly right, Greg. And to me, the best personal illustration that I can give for that is my brother is a very famous trial attorney in Dayton, Ohio. He is a graduate of the University of Texas Law School. He is on the left end of the Democratic Party spectrum. Let's just put it that way. I think he would have a great deal of difficulty avoiding taking Pepto-Bismol when he considers his younger brother's views on firearms and on things like abortion and certain social issues. I'm a part of the hardcore Taft Buchanan right, although I have many friends, of course, who don't agree with me on these issues and are in other places on these subjects. But the point is, he knows that that's what I represent. He's on the left end of the Democratic Party spectrum, and yet when it comes to this war and Bush and Cheney and this wholesale support of the Zionist lobby, my brother and I are largely on the same page. We're mutually ticked off about the whole thing. He's concerned about the future of his children when he watches this mess. And that, to me, is where guys like Greg Felton come into play, because you're identifying for us, Greg, and identifying for me, just as Mark Glenn does on this show on Fridays with the American Free Press, that this is at central core the whole question in microcosmic and macrocosmic view of what threatens the American Constitutional Republic. And people who otherwise have had no use for each other politically are coming to see this, and they're going, hey, wait a minute, we've all got to band together and get this stopped, because our fundamental survivability of our country, of our Constitution, of our family members and friends depends on reversing course. And I think that there's a fault line developing on this that I've been predicting would transpire for years, and now it's starting to happen. And at one level, it's scary. At another level, I think it's encouraging, which gets back to the fact that these guys like Greg Felton and Mark Glenn and Michael Collins Piper and Hesham Talawi are having an impact that is driving the corporate and Zionist powers that be completely nuts. I mean, when a guy like my brother agrees with me on the war and the draft and Bush and Cheney, I find that to be entirely significant.
You know, I find it's very interesting. You made a good point about the concept of left and right in American politics. There is no left and right anymore. There is only constitutionalists and criminals. Now, that might sound like a radical and rather bizarre thing to say, but if you look at the people who are so-called leftists, that might have been called left about 30, 40 years ago, who believe in more state intervention in the economy, more support for the working poor, or less money for the military. These people really are nothing, are basically marginalized to the point where they really don't have a voice anymore. You're either right-wing or you're uber-right-wing. And the political center has been so crowded out that what we had in the left now is simply a centrist policy of people who put their own country first and would rather see an America for Americans rather than America for Israel or for some little clique of internationalist thugs. So you have to ask yourself, are you a nationalist or are you a globalist? And I think that's where most people's political opinions will break down. Because I find that people who use the term, I've been dismissed as a leftist. And I just love the way people who criticize my point of view will throw this word out without any real regard for what it means. You can be demonized as a leftist or an anti-Semite or something. And these are not words anymore. These are simply labels. They're sort of the detritus of a defeated mind that sort of spews out knee-jerk epithets when faced with critical thought that they can't comprehend. So there is no left and right anymore. There's simply people who support the Constitution and people who don't support the Constitution. There are Americans, then there are criminals. And that,
exactly.
That might sound like an absurd and rather self-serving thing to say, but I don't think so. I mean, there is nothing you can say about George W. Bush that is defensible from a pro-American point of view, and his edict regarding the senior government, I think, is the most glaring proof, because there is no defense for this. There's not even a...
We'll be back.
Okay.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's SoleilWellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're coming to you live today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wanted to apologize to somebody from Canada trying to get through for the show, a gentleman by the name of Ramsey up in Canada. He was on for a few minutes and then had to depart. If he calls back, we will definitely get him on. I'm now seeing a message that he's on the screen. And so I'm going to take that call right now with the understanding that we have just a couple of minutes before another commercial break. So I want Ramsey to start his conversation with Greg and warning them that they're going to be interrupted, and with the assurance that I will get both of them back into dialogue after that interruption. Ramsey's back with us in Canada. Go ahead, sir. Now I'm getting a message that we lost him again. Okay. Well, if he comes back on the line, I will definitely engage him in this conversation with Greg Felton. This is the opportunity, of course, for me in the next few minutes to plug the Republic Broadcasting Network, to plug the American Free Press, and to plug Ron Paul's presidential candidacy. Mark Gankoff's America needs your help, folks. I hope that you will support me in the days ahead. The Republic Broadcasting Network needs your help as well. You can contact RBN at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org. We're at 1-800-724-2719. The American Free Press needs you. They need subscribers. They need people to buy books coming from their very fine book division. That includes Mark Glenn's books, Matthias Chang's books, Michael Collins Piper's books, among many others. You can contact AFP at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. And then there's the candidacy of Ron Paul for president. Folks, he's the only option out there. If you believe in the Constitution of the United States, if you are sick of this Zionist-inspired war for empire, if you're sick of the Federal Reserve Board, if you're sick of the present federal income tax situation, if you're sick of the destruction of our own infrastructure, not simply our political infrastructure, but our physical infrastructure and our cultural infrastructure are all going down the tube at the same time. If you're concerned about that, Congressman Ron Paul's presidential campaign is the only one in town. So there you have it. Support Mark Gankoff's America to the extent that you can, and certainly support the Republic Broadcasting Network at 1-800-724-2719. Support AFP at 1-888-699-NEWS, and give Ron Paul your support as well. Ramsey, go ahead with Greg. We're going to go to a break here in just a very short period of time, but go ahead, and then we'll get you on when we come back.
Yes, hello, sir. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, I just have a question and a comment. Yes, sir, also, like 2 years ago, there was the Hurricane Katrina, and at the same time, the United States gave $1.3 billion to the Israeli settlers to... like when the Gaza disengagement happened. So it's the same situation with the bridge collapse. Like the United States government's supposed to be spending all this money on its own problems, and at the same time they're giving money to Israel, which is causing a lot of problems.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
Well, we'll be back. I want to give Ramsey additional time for commentary and for Greg to respond. When we're back in about 2 minutes, this is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, of the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Greg Felton of GregFelton.com in Vancouver. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invasion.